And now online, via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know, it's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
It's you. Brilliant stuff. Thanks for coming. We have reached the key of the door as Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast turns 21 today. Hopefully it won't match my 21st birthday party at my mate Martin's house, where I was stripped stark naked at the stroke of midnight and had two full slop buckets of beer mixed with flour, cereal, cider crisps and, I believe, someone's urine poured all over me as I was forcibly held down on the ground. It's true. And that was my mates that did that. Anyway, I'm watching my back now to see if my co-writers here, Sean Percival and Andy Robinson, are up to no good and thinking of recreating that event. No, I don't think they're going to. Instead, we're going to bring you another 30 minutes or so of topical comedy sketches, parody songs and impressions from our diseased minds. We'll be delving into the cronyism surrounding Boris's latest list. Controversial pundit Roy Keane visits the repair shop. Neil Sedaka sings about the name that suddenly strikes fear into us all. And from our archive of stuff dating back to my BRMB and Heart FM days, Black Country Bob, in agreement with Blair at last? Surely not. And Paul Weller refuses to share a stage with another British singer-songwriter, plus stacks more new stuff to bring you as well. But before anything else, we need to get you an update from the Barmy Old Podcast news desk. So without further ado, here's Jim White, and first, Hugh Edwards.
Thank you, Ian, and hello to you. It has been reported that Donald Trump was seriously considering banning the sale of little plastic boxes of spearmint, peppermint, and lime and orange sweets as they were posing a threat to the USA's national security. His advisors subsequently told him it was TikTok he should be worried about and not Tic Tacs. Without wishing to bang on about the US president, at a speech in Ohio last week, Mr. Trump mispronounced the name of the Southeast Asian country once known as Siam as Thailand instead. All I can say to that is, what a complete idiot. With new lockdown measures springing up all around the country, new ways of making sure the under 30s abide to the rules are being invented. Preston Council have come up with a new motto of Don't Kill Granny. Grandfathers all over Lancashire are now wondering what exactly it is that they've done wrong. In a disgraceful and cowardly move, British Airways bosses sent an email at midnight in the week to 4,000 of its employees telling them they were now redundant and being forced to leave. To be fair, a lot of the flight attendants already knew where the exits were. And in other unemployment news, after making 55 members of non-playing staff redundant on the same day they offered Brazilian winger Willian a £15 million contract, the FA has insisted that Arsenal remove the last three letters of their name and simply add the word holds onto what's left. And now for the rest of the sport, here's Jim White.
Thanks very much, Hugh. Roy Jones Jr. has reportedly insured his ears, ready for his highly anticipated comeback fight against Mike Tyson this September. When Evander Holyfield was asked how he felt about this, he said he hadn't heard anything.
Thanks very much, Jim. And that's it from us. You're up to date.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, you know, it doesn't seem to take long these days for new figures of speech to get into our language, mainly thanks to social media, I think. One of the most recent and the most odd of these for me is this idea of now using a particular woman's Christian name as a sort of pejorative term for a lady, usually American it seems, and usually seen on Facebook, being filmed ranting at someone she's never met before outside her house or at a shopping mall or something like that. And these rants are over the most trivial things, utterly blown out of all proportion by these particular ladies. And Neil Sedaka, one of the greatest singer-songwriters in history, wants these women, known by this particular name, to, well, knock it off. From the housewife's choice, Des, later on with his diary. But next up, another of our favourite old characters that was kind of the anti-Des in some ways, the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, Black Country Bob. You see, whilst Des was a bit of a sex symbol for the ladies, Bob was more of a sexism symbol, really, along with a general intolerance for the then Prime Minister Tony Blair, or anyone in the House of Commons, or anyone who just didn't share his love of what he saw as the finer things in life. Some of my favourite episodes of this were where Blair thinks that Bob is actually going along with policy without complaint. Only we all know better, don't we? And here's an example of exactly that. Sing, sing, sing!
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker!
Yes, a statement to the House. Yes, Prime Minister, please.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I would like to take this opportunity to inform the House that this government will be introducing a bill that will outlaw antisocial behaviour in our society.
Here is Wolf! The Prime Minister can count on more support in the lobbies on this issue.
Well, isn't it nice to have the Right Honourable Member for Dudley on my side for a change? Yes.
Yeah, antisocial behaviour is a disgrace.
Good, excellent, yeah.
People mowing the lawns at midday on a Sunday. They should be locked up.
What?
It ain't fair on those on us who've been on the lash the night before. Up until the early hours, singing along to loud music and fighting in the streets.
But that's just the kind of behaviour this bill is hoping to stamp out.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect? I live on a council estate.
Oh, but hang on. What about the other law-abiding council tenants?
Yeah.
I said, what about the tenants?
That's whose fault it is.
What, the tenants?
Oh! The tenants, the Carlsberg, the Banksys, the Boddingtons!
Order in the house!
What have you lot laughing at?
Order in the house, please, order!
Well, we spent the last few weeks trying to make those various sporting clichés and idioms we hear sound just a bit more interesting in the context of a general knowledge round of Mastermind with host Magnus Magnusson. Football, cricket and boxing we've covered before now. So what about all the clichés that the petrol heads of F1 commentary come out with? We welcome back our next competitor, Murray Walker. Murray, you scored 37 points in your specialist subject round of the history of Coleman balls. Now it's time for your general knowledge round, starting now. A schoolboy has worn away his eraser. What advice would you give him?
He needs fresh rubber.
Correct. A tabby cat is steadily drinking milk. How would you describe this?
Oh, he's lapping very, very consistently.
Correct. Where would you go to buy jeans, t-shirts, dresses, and baby clothes?
Look at the gap! Look at the gap!
Correct, but contain yourself. Demolition experts are looking to destroy one apartment. What will happen?
Pass.
A boy can no longer play Conkers, but is useless at other games. What's happening?
Well, he's got onto the marbles,
which have caused him a problem.
Correct. Describe what happens when a man has been eating sprouts and has gone to bed under a tight-fitting sheet.
Pass.
How could you describe a monetary fine for dithering about and jaywalking?
That's a stop-go penalty.
Correct. A conductor has Beethoven's First Symphony, Beethoven's Second Symphony, and Beethoven's Fourth Symphony. What's happened?
Oh, he's lost third! He's lost third!
Correct. When chatting up someone who you cannot see in a darkened room, what would it possibly be better to do?
Oh, wait for the lights.
Correct. A Bristol-born rapper departed the band Massive Attack in the mid-90s. What happened?
Oh, Tricky left.
Correct. What would the CEO of Shell Oil use as a poor excuse for another spillage on a beach?
Slicks are vital as
soon as possible.
Correct. What would people often criticise an incompetent drummer about?
Oh, he always loses time in the second section.
Correct. The new temp in the office has... I've started, so I'll finish. The new temp in the office came back with 5 cappuccinos and 4 lattes rather than 3 Americanos and 6 espressos. What's happened?
Well, he's simply not following team orders there.
That is correct. You passed on 2. Demolition experts are looking to destroy 1 apartment. What will happen? And the answer to that, they'll take this flat out.
Oh.
And the other pass was, describe what happens when a man has been eating sprouts and has gone to bed under a tight-fitting sheet. The answer there, he's stuck in his dirty air.
Oh.
Murray Walker, you have scored 12 points. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Magnus.
And it's time for me to go, go, go back to my seat.
...2020's been quite a year for singer-songwriter Paul Weller, whose album On Sunset topped the charts a couple of weeks back, which makes him, get this, the only man other than Lennon and McCartney to have scored a number one album in 5 straight decades. Wow, whether it's with The Jam, Style Council, or as a solo artist now. And he's always kept his rock and roll edge as well as Paul Weller. In 2006, he was asked to duet with James Blunt at the Brit Awards by the organisers. Fair to say he wasn't into the idea. The quote was, "I'd rather eat shit than sing with James Blunt." That was his considered response. And he took to song with us on the Heart FM Sunday Carve-Up Show to expand on this theme.
Lifetime achievement at this year's Brits, organised by some stupid half-wits. With James Blunt, they wanted me to sing. I said, get lost, it's not happening. What I think of him, I made it plain. I said, it's a naughty word and rhymes with this surname. Blunt's high-pitched love songs just make me spew. I know exactly what the kids would like me to do.
Hello, hooray, blow James Blunt away.
Hey! The great big rifle, great big rifle.
Hello, hooray, blow out James Blunt's brains.
Hey! With the great big rifle, great big rifle.
Hello, hooray, blow James Blunt away.
Hey! With the great big rifle, great big rifle.
Hello, hooray, go on, make our day.
Hey! With the great big rifle, great big rifle. I hate you, Blunt.
Oh, look, you've shot me between the legs. Oh, great. I'll be able to sing even higher now. Listen. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
A great big rifle.
Oh.
This is the Barmy Old Podcast, episode 21, with me, Ian Danter. Don't forget a Mr. Men story unearthed from the archives for you a little later on. Meantime, the coronavirus pandemic still about and seems to be rearing its ugly head once again down under, with spikes in many regions, I understand. Let's see how they're getting on in Melbourne, Australia, or to be more precise, in Ramsey Street in the town of Erinsborough.
All right, neighbours, episode 97,281, scene one, take one, and action.
Struth, mate, what are you doing here?
G'day, mate. I'm up for a tinny. Fancy a barby this avo? We'll get the Sheilas to do some tucker and wash it down with a few car ones. What do you say, Cobber?
Oh, wreck off, you drongo. We're in lockdown. If the corpus see you here, it's a $10,000 fine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Fair dinkum. And cut. And that's a wrap. Good work, everyone. That's probably it for a few months, all right? Cue the new outro music.
Neighbours, better stay clear of your neighbours, because you have no understanding of who they are or where they've been. Neighbours, better stay clear of your neighbours, 'cause they could give you COVID-19. 'Cause they could give you COVID-19.
One of the sports events that's been taking place at the moment is the World Snooker Championships at its traditional home of the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield, admittedly behind closed doors, which is a shame. It was planned to have some supporters there, because only the 11th ever maximum 147 break at these World Championships was made last Thursday by the four-time world champion and former number one in the world, John Higgins. Now, Higgins has been back in form the last 3 years after a little while out of the top rankings. And he has hit the headlines for the wrong reasons too in the past. A six-month ban a decade ago, for example, after allegations of match-fixing were levelled against him. And 15 years ago, him and Ken Doherty got into trouble on a flight back to England after they played the Maltese Open final together. And then they just drank through the night, apparently, before trying to board the plane early next morning. Now, Ted Lowe and Dennis Taylor were watching on for our Heart FM show at the time. Bless them.
And as you join us at Malta Airport, John Higgins approaches the table. What do you think there, Dennis?
Well, Ted, it looks like he's going for it. Oh, and it's gone down. A treble JD. It didn't even touch the sides there.
Yes, Dennis, John Higgins may look like the Pillsbury Doughboy, but he's just sank 8 pints with bourbon chasers, and now he's staggering off to the toilet.
And the former world snooker champion is swaying from side to side as he leans over the urinal there.
Oh, look, Dennis, it's going all over his shoes. Well, Higgins is going to regret wearing those suede brogues.
Well, you're right there, Ted. You could have just wiped it off a leather upper, but it'll soon soak into the suede.
And he'll never get rid of the smell, Dennis.
Well, look, Ted, Higgins has now boarded the plane.
Oh, this is bad, Dennis. The snooker race is now barfing into a brown paper bag.
Well, come on, Ted. Be fair, that is put there for people who do suffer from travel sickness.
But the plane hasn't even taken off yet, Dennis.
Oh, and look, Ted, Higgins has now been ordered off the flight. How do you think Snooker's governing body are going to punish him for this misdemeanor?
Well, Dennis, if he's slightly tipsy, he'll get a slap on the wrist. If he's totally inebriated, he'll get a fine. But if he's absolutely paralytic, he'll get a 3-month ban.
Oh, look, Ted, Higgins has just gone into the kebab shop there.
Oh, well, a 3-month ban it clearly is then, Dennis.
Last couple of weeks are what would have been most people's main holiday fortnight, I guess. They used to call it industrial fortnight, I think, when I was growing up in Brum. And because of the COVID restrictions, many families have had to make do with what some call staycations in England, Scotland and Wales. And I'll tell you something, the weather hasn't been very kind up north throughout the summer, especially on the northeast coast, apparently,
where the Sex Pistols frontman Johnny Rotten is trying to enjoy a well-earned break. To raid the archive once again on the Barmy Old Podcast for another ludicrous entry from Desi's Diaries back in our Heart FM days. This is when it was known as Desi's Dedications, this slot on BRMB Drive Time. We used to end up playing out two Desi's per show, one at around 4:20 in our first hour, and then we would repeat the one from the previous day at about 20 to 6 because we started getting messages from listeners saying, oh, our Des was on for our shop yesterday, but Erica or somebody never heard it. Can you play it again? And we get other messages saying, I love listening to Des, but I'm always picking the kids up from school at 4:15, so I never get to hear it. Can you, etc., etc., etc. That was the power of the housewife's choice. And here he is, helping the ladies kick the habit. Well, one habit at least.
Des's Diary.
Hi, girls. Des here. On Ian Danter's Sunday carve-up here on 100.7 Hard FM. And it's time, once again, for Des's Diaries. And today, it's a big... Hi, girls. To all you ladies out there who are trying to give up smoking. You know, I used to work at a tobacconist's. One day, a young woman came in demanding tobacco. She showed me her patch and said,
I've gone without since New Year's Eve, so please, I'm begging you, give me some top quality shag.
Not possible, but you can have a pull on this if you want, I replied as I gave her my John Player special.
It tastes wonderful.
She murmured as she sucked on it noisily. And when she'd finally finished, there was lipstick all over the tip.
Fantastic.
I've just got to accept the fact that I'm only truly happy when I've got one of these in my mouth.
She purred. Cheerio.
Des's Diary. The Sunday Carve-Up. 100.7 Hot FM.
One of my co-writers, Sean Percival, has become a huge fan of the BBC One show, The Repair Shop. I think it's his favourite programme on the box now. It's a lovely format if you haven't seen it before. It's like, it's a bit like a real-life version of Bagpuss, right? Where things get mended for members of the public and they usually burst into floods of tears when they see the finished article once it's been restored. We've taken a few trips there ourselves on the Barmy Old podcast in previous episodes. Tell you what, let's get back there now.
Welcome to the repair shop, where precious but fading treasures are restored to their former glory. Furniture restorer Jay Blaines and a dream team of experts come together to work their magic on these items and unlock the secrets that they hold. Our first visitor to the repair shop today, carrying an incredibly valuable commodity inside his trunk, is an Irishman called Roy from Manchester.
Hello, Roy. I'm Jay.
Jay, what kind of name is that for a bloke?
I beg your pardon.
Never mind. I'm Roy.
Okay, and what have you brought with you, Roy?
I've got a goalkeeper in here, an established international goalkeeper.
Right, and what's wrong with this goalkeeper, Roy?
Are you kidding me? He's overrated. He's the most overrated goalkeeper in the world. I'm sick to death of this goalkeeper. In fact, I'm through with him. I'd be swinging punches if that was me in the dressing room. I mean, it's basic.
Visibly annoyed, Roy left the repair shop. We released the goalkeeper, a Spaniard called David, from the trunk. Traumatised, he was beyond our help, but we did manage to get a replacement called Dean from up in Sheffield, who was up and coming and less prone to gaffes. So we covered him with a blanket, and upon Roy's return to the repair shop, we dramatically removed the blanket and presented Dean to Roy, hoping he would tear up like most of our visitors do.
So, what do you say, Roy?
Well, you know, thanks, I suppose.
I'll bet it's been a bit emotional, hasn't it, Roy?
No, not at all. He's just a goalkeeper, for Christ's sake. And if you think I'm going to start bleating like the other idiots who come on this show, you can think again.
And with that, Roy left the repair shop, mumbling something under his breath about returning next week with bloody Carragher in the trunk. A Manchester United bus came to pick up Dean, but under instruction from Roy, David was not allowed on that bus and he had to get a taxi back to Manchester instead. Until next time on the repair shop, stay safe.
I'll take this opportunity to remind any potential sponsors and advertisers that I'm not proud and will happily accept any monetary advances from you via email. My website is iandanta.co.uk. But whilst I wait for the beer tokens to roll in, our old mate Snoop Dogg has been helping us out on the Barmy Old podcast with his own take on classic UK adverts. It's been chocolate bars for him so far with us, but today he's going for one of the most famous soft drink commercials ever made in this country. Go on, Snoop.
Yeah, this is dope. Yeah. Way down Dizzle, in the middle of the Congo, a hippo took an apricot, a gwizzle, and a mango. He stuck it with the others and he danced a Dizzle tango. The rhino said, I know, we'll call it umbongo. Umbongo, bongo, umbongo. They drizzle it in the Congo. Yeah. The python picked the passion fruit, the mama said the mandarin, and the parrot painted packets that the whole cabizzle landed in. Yeah. So when it comes to sun and fun and goodness in the Jizzle jungle, this is whack. They all prefer the sunny funny one they call umbongo. The U to the M to the B to the O to the N-G-O. Yeah. Peace out.
Umbongo.
Cheers, Snoop. Now, thanks to the awesome Hawksby and Jacobs show on TalkSport every weekday afternoon, I got a bit of notoriety during lockdown by reading out Newcastle United manager Steve Bruce's 1999 murder mystery novel, Striker, in his voice. No, seriously, he did write a novel. Actually, he wrote three a couple of decades back when he was just starting out in management. All murder mystery novels, Striker, Sweeper and Defender. And good luck finding copies, by the way, because we've seen these books sell for up to £1,000 online. And if you want to hear it, by the way, this audio book, if you like, I've done of Striker, it's on the H&J Daily Podcast section where all the TalkSport pods are. And I've been told it's a huge hit with listeners, which is great. I know Steve himself has been listening to the excerpts and enjoying them. So I got in touch with him in the week and asked him whether he got anything new planned to write.
Well, yes, I have, Ian. I think I've got an outline pretty much worked out here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A football club from a deprived area of the country, yeah. A real sleeping giant. It's got a huge, passionate, loyal following. A fantastic stadium. And the manager, who's an ex-Premier League winner, is an absolute genius,
right.
Albeit a cruelly underrated one. So far, so good, right, Ian?
Well, yes, Steve. Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, but there's one problem, though, Ian.
Oh, yeah?
It's the owner.
Ooh.
He's not a member of a Middle Eastern dynasty or a filthy rich oligarch prepared to invest hundreds of millions on top quality signings. He's just a businessman. And do you know what this disgusting, immoral, outrageous businessman wants to do, Ian? And I can hardly bring myself to say this.
Well, go on. What's that, Steve? Spit it out.
He wants to turn a profit.
Well, that's what businessmen do, isn't it, Steve? And I mean, after all, it is his club.
No, it's not his club, Ian. It's my club. My club. What? I mean, the manager in question, who's a local man and a lifelong fan. It's his club. He sees it as his club, Ian, and he decides early on that the owner has to go.
Go? What? As in just leave the club, sort of thing?
No, Ian. Go, as in go.
Ooh.
You know, the owner disappears in mysterious circumstances, and then his crucified body's later discovered, nailed to the Angel of the North. Nailed to a prominent local monument. Yeah, with a sword through his side, and then the manager in question.
Right.
He then seduces the owner's wife and marries her.
Blimey, this sounds interesting.
Yeah, and she is later found hanging from the Tyne Bridge. Hanging from a local flyover somewhere.
Oh, what, right? Suicide?
Well, you know, the coroner records an open verdict, but foul play is suspected, Ian, and this manager then inherits the club and all of Ashley's money. All of the previous owner's money.
Huh.
And he invests it in quality players. And that very year, the club wins the Premier League. And the year after, it wins the Champions League.
Does it? Yeah.
The manager becomes a living legend The statue of Alan Shearer. I mean,
what?
The statue of a fan's former favourite, who's become a crap TV pundit. Well, that's melted down in a bigger one in gold instead of bronze. Of me. Of the manager in question it's erected in its place. And well, that's the plot, Ian. What do you reckon?
Well, it's great, Steve. And you've just made all that up. I mean, it's not based on any ongoing activities that you're aware of.
No, Ian. It's just the product of an author's vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've got to go, mate. I'm expecting a delivery of some nails, a sword and a length of rope. All right, see you, Ian.
All right, see you, Steve.
Oh, Ian?
Yes, Steve?
You don't know how to tie a noose, does you?
No! Time for another previously unheard Mr. Men story from our archive, narrated by the late, great Arthur Lowe. Now, we did hear earlier in the show from Neil Sedaka about the rise of the Karens during this pandemic, but, you know, folk with controversial views have always been about. I mean, do you know someone like this?
Mr. Flat Earther asked his son what he wanted for his birthday.
Can I have a globe lampshade, please, Dad?
He answered. No, but I can get you a table mat that is an exact scaled-down replica of our planet, lied Mr. Flat Earther.
I suppose I could always ask Mum to get me one then,
retorted Mr. Flat Earther's son. Oh, you can't do that, kidder. You know your mother's been abducted by aliens, exclaimed Mr. Flat Earther.
No, she hasn't. She's living with a bloke called Steve in Rochdale. She left you because she was sick of all your crackpot theories,
Mr. Flat Earther's son responded. Now, later that night, Mr. Flat Earther's son asked him if he'd help him with his history homework. So, Mr. Flat Earther asked his son what Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, and Nelson Mandela had in common.
They were all leaders of their countries,
answered Mr. Flat Earther's son correctly.
Wrong,
shouted Mr. Flat Earther triumphantly. They were actually all blood-drinking, flesh-eating, shape-shifting, extraterrestrial reptilians with just one objective: to enslave the human race, he pontificated irritatingly. Now, after his son had told him to f*** off and slammed the bedroom door in his face, Mr. Flat Earther put his shoes and coat on. Well, there's only one person I can talk to about this, he said to himself. And can you guess who that person was? Yes, you're right. It was Elvis Presley. And Could you guess where Elvis worked? Yes, you're right again. At his local chip shop. Poor Mr. Flat Earther. The f***ing deluded
Finally on this Barmy Odd podcast, in political news this week, the Prime Minister has announced the latest additions to become Peers of the Realm in the chamber next to the House of Commons, amid loads of accusations of cronyism. And, well, to be fair, those accusations look pretty well founded to me. If you start delving and looking into it, how on earth can Bojo defend this? He's enlisted the help of madness to try and do just that.
It's a gravy train. Welcome to the House of Lords. Welcome to the privileged men. £300 a day. Welcome to the House of Lords.
Look, just because they're all my cronies doesn't mean you can accuse me of cronyism, does it?
Yes!
Will my brother Jews got a peerage too? But why you ask? What did he do? Well, he's a posh boy just like me, and after all his family.
Welcome to the House of Lords, it's a gravy train. Welcome to the privileged men, £300 a day. Welcome to the House of Lords.
I mean, a couple of the new Lords were Labour MPs. Fair enough, they all bet me on Brexit and then left the Labour Party. Although, come to think of it, they only left after Dom offered them a peerage.
Well, I'm sorry, son. You cannot pass into the House of Lords. It's such a farce to be a live peer and get inside here. You will have to put your tongue up my unelected. Doesn't make no sense at all at the taxpayers' expense. Whilst millions keep losing their jobs, we'll still fund this bunch of snobs. Well, hello Corbyn, hello Abbott, you wanna come in? Well, I think not.
Welcome to the House of Lords, it's a gravy train. Welcome to the House of Lords. Welcome to the privileged men, £300 a day. Welcome to the House of Lords. Welcome to the House of Lords, it's a gravy train. Welcome to the House of Lords. Welcome to the privileged men, £300 a day. Welcome to the House of Lords.
So there you have it. That's episode 21 of the Barmy Old podcast, done and dusted. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate all the support that you give the podcast. If you've got any questions or comments, you can tweet me at Will. It's at TalkDance, TalkDants. Or you can email me via my website, which is iandanter.co.uk. There is a link from which you can email me with any questions or comments you may have. Many thanks as well to Sean Percival and Andy Robinson for their brilliant writing talents that they've lent to this show once again. And we will be back, of course, with episode 22 next time around. So rate, review and subscribe and spread the word in the meantime. Just let everyone know how much you enjoy this little half an hour of escapism, if that's what it is for you, I don't know. Anyway, listen, thanks for tuning in and we'll see you next time on the Barmy Odd podcast. And as Des would say, cheerio.